You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Our thanks to Dave Schultz. Our thanks to Kirk Merritt in hour number two. Dave Schultz over from ESPN 1420 in Lafayette. We're live at Sunbelt Media Days here in the Dome. Kirk Merritt, Destrehan High School's own and Arkansas State wideout, joined us at 1:30 to talk a little football here as well. Sean Fox joined us from 977 Sports Talk in Ruston Monroe as the Warhawks. Part of the teams here in the Sun Conference. And coming up later this hour, Keith Gill, Sunbelt Commissioner, and head coach Billy Napier, Joey, at 2:45 of the Cajuns. They are picked along with App State to meet, represent the West, the Cajuns, represent the East, App State. And right now, preseason, it is predicted that Appalachian State will be your conference champion. And, of course, the conference champion comes here to the New Orleans Bowl in the Dome a little bit later in December. We had Lenny Van Gilder on as well from Crescent City Sports, and then Jordan the intern complained about the LSU new locker room. He wishes that he would have gotten something like that, even though you provided how much to LSU?
My presence.
Your presence. You provided nothing else though, right?
No, I made a few things for Tiger TV.
There you go, Joey. A few things for Tiger TV. You did give up a broken nose.
Yes, I did.
You did get a broken
nose. My first broken bone ever.
Ever. Okay,
yes.
So there you go. You did sacrifice literally blood.
Yes,
bone.
I sacrificed.
Well, actually, it's cartilage. It's not really
my
bone
body
nose,
for
the
Tigers. To save the camera.
Yeah. Again, all this started when LSU football tweeted out a picture of the first meal in the brand-new dining facility inside the practice venue there, and it was langoustine lobster?
Yeah, a lobster that looks like a shrimp.
Yeah.
A large shrimp.
But it kind of looked like lamb or something.
A lamb on the side and then three fried shrimp.
Yeah, right.
With a lemon slice. Right.
And that got you going because you didn't eat like that at the 459?
The 459.
Okay.
I mean, they did have free ice cream, so I mean.
Joey's is Mrs. Joey going to be interested in my interview with Coach Napier, Billy Napier, coming up at 2:45?
Oh, definitely. She has she's bought a radio.
There you go, Coach Tim Rebo.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, of course, head coach of the Colonels. He is coming on tomorrow at 1:15. So we're getting you ready. Getting you ready. All these media days taking place, and we'll get you ready for football, including your New Orleans Saints, which of course starts Friday. First practice. Vets come in on Thursday, and we'll go over a lot of the different storylines, of course, that go in it. Again, my overall number one storyline is health. We've touched on that here a little bit. But, of course, there's going to be things that we keep an eye on. Does that make sense, Jordan? We'll keep an eye on certain things that go in it. So when practice starts on Friday, first thing you're doing is what?
Checking.
Gate opens up.
Seeing who's there.
Who in particular is it that you want to see if he's there?
Let's see.
Mine's easy. 81, Cameron Meredith.
That is a good one.
In OTA, didn't participate in minicamp.
But he was there.
The interview at the end of minicamp was, well, I did all of that to make sure that I could be there in training camp. If he's not there Friday, and I don't mean on the tour de leave, I don't mean him working on the side. I'm talking about going through the full practice. Issue or not an issue?
Issue.
I'm going not an issue. You know why?
Yeah, we do have a lot of players that we did pick up.
I was going to say, it's your loss. Does that make sense? That's why I'm saying issue, not an issue. The reason I say that because, look, at the end of the day, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. The importance level of having that slot receiver. It's something that a lot of people are going to talk about this week. You're going to see a lot of the columnists, the beat reporters, radio stations, what have you, some of the question marks and things that you want to keep an eye on. For me, I get and I understand the desire of people to say, who's that slot receiver? Because that next receiver is going to sort of step up. And I just keep going back to what I felt and saw when I sat there and looked at minicamp and I looked at OTAs. And I was like, did I ever get the sense that the Saints were not going to be able to throw the football. Jordan,
no.
And you?
No.
Okay. Who's the third receiver? Exactly.
You could look at...
No, but the fact that you're having to think about it, right? Okay, you saw Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Terrell Grayson.
Nice.
Okay. He's a very nice player that I've seen.
Okay, but that's right, my point.
Yeah.
It's like I'm thinking below Ginn. I'm thinking below Thomas. I'm thinking below Cooks or Cook, Jared Cook. I'm thinking below Kamara out the backfield. You saw Taysom Hill catching some. Like, my point was I'm watching practices and I'm like, yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of weapons that you could go to that aren't
before you get to the third receiver
that aren't wide receiver like position players.
Right, that's what I'm getting. So, before you even get to it,
yes, correct.
What I'm getting at.
Yes,
and I think that's what's remarkable because think about it. Most teams you probably need at least three.
Yes,
and I'm not saying the Saints won't have that. It's not what I'm getting at. But what I'm saying is, I think this week you're going to hear and probably see some people say, "Hey, look, this is important. This is important. And who's that third guy? Who's the slot guy?" And I get it. In its principle, yes, they do need.
But not every, for some teams, but not every team has a guy like an Alvin Kamara or a guy like a Jared Cook who could bully people and catch in traffic.
Catch passes. Yeah. And that's what I'm sort of getting at is, you know, when it's a passing situation, well, with the Saints, that could be any down. Breeze drops back. How many players above the third receiver come up is what I'm getting at. You know what I mean? Like, whoever is that third, fourth receiver,
we're looking
at 30 balls.
Yeah, they're not going to be targeted like a Michael Thomas or like an Alvin Kamara. So, I mean, not even Alvin Kamara gets a load of touches from, like, reception-wise.
Look, Sean Payton said that, you know, Jared Cook was going to be the guy that's going to be opposite of Michael Thomas. And catch as many balls, if not more. I mean, well, not more, but the guys could be opposite of that. So,
more than your average
tight end. Right. I think Ginner sort of be there. What's remarkable, I mean, it's something we'll talk about. Maybe we'll have Mike Triplett on later this week here as well, some of the other Saints folks that cover the team. I would say surprising would be the right way to put it. Jordan, are you surprised you don't hear people talking about Tre'Quan Smith as much? And what I mean by that is it's almost like, not even trying to think of the right word or phrase. It's almost it's almost like, well, who's the guys going to step up? Like, they drafted a receiver pretty high last year, and Tre'Quan Smith, you know that he's kind of fast. You know he's the guy that caught the Drew Brees, you know, record-breaking catch against the you know he's the guy that at the end of training camp last year, everyone was fawning over.
Yeah, he's the second guy.
What happened to him?
Behind Michael Thomas.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I get the, hey, I don't know, were they expecting 60, 70 catches for him last year? I don't know. I just, like I said, that talent and speed and catching ability is kind of still there. I
don't know if that's – also a move by the Saints of keeping him, I don't know, on a low radar.
Well, look, I when I think of Tre'Quan Smith, and again, feel free to give us a call, 800-998-1003, as our next guest is until 2:30. But I kind of get the sense the Dallas game is the game that people are equating Tre'Quan Smith. It's not even the touchdown catch against the Redskins. It's the Dallas game in which the Saints were struggling on offense. Tre'Quan had a chance to catch the ball. It looked like it could have been a touchdown inside that 10-yard line, and he dropped it.
I don't think you could blame. I
get the
game.
Sense and feel, and maybe it's even Coach Payton too, that he had that one or two spots and chances to catch it. He didn't, so they went away from it. Conversely, Keith Kirkwood comes in because of injury, plays, gets some snaps, right, and makes catches on third down, gets smacked on a catch, holds on to the football, right? Because, I don't know, am I nuts? As we bring in one angry mention, I feel like more people are like, hey, Keith Kirkwood can step in before people go, hey, Tre'Quan Smith's going to step up. It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that. One angry mention, what you got, man?
I think it's important that someone steps up, and I think that we might be discrediting what the wide receiver does in a Sean Payton offense. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed with having a bunch of guys who've been able to play the Y. and what it does for your tight end and for the X and for the Z is amazing. Not to mention it allows Kamara to get those one-on-ones with linebackers. Because when you're in that three wide receiver set with one tailback and a tight end, now the defense has to choose. And if you have a guy at the Y who can draw the safety or draw that nickel corner, then it puts Alvin Kamara in an advantageous position. We need a Y receiver, period.
I'm with you. And look, a lot of times the ability to block, which is why I keep bringing up Tre'Quan Smith's name, is a guy that wanted to be a blocker. He kind of takes pride in being able to be a good blocker and be physical as well. You're right. I mean, that is a key component on it. I guess I'm just referencing one ingredient in terms of, hey, you know, can this offense operate at the highest level that it can? I just mean, like, if I go top five things to keep an eye on, I feel that fans probably want to find that third receiver a lot quicker than I do. I don't know. And again, it's based on nothing more than really just me just looking at the practices and just seeing where the balls are being delivered. And it's just, you know, good.
What I was going to say is that people forget that Rishard Matthew came in during OTAs.
Right.
And that was a guy that they were targeting a lot during those joint sessions. And I thought that even when Drew Brees wasn't there, cause he was handling the issues with the court cases, Rishard Matthews was one of the key guys that was thrown to through multiple possessions. You were doing the show here, and Brian was doing the show the next day, and I went out to go to practice, and that's when I saw Rishard Matthews, and he was kind of stepping into his own role as looking like the second option to where, like, the Saints are going to go to.
Above Jared Cook?
Well, no, not above Jared Cook, but Cyril Grayson position.
I think, you know, again, I think Ginn's going to have – it'll be interesting how Sean Payton addresses it and talks about it. And Thursday, I mean, every year before camp starts, he and Mickey Loomis address the media and talk about some of the discussions and some of the things going into camp and things that to look for and we'll want to keep an eye on. And I do think that, you know, along those lines, I'll ask him that maybe on Thursday. You know, like what is the level of importance of trying to find? Because I think he'll probably answer it of, I don't think you go into camp trying to find it. It just sort of how that offense sort of evolves. And again, I could be completely off on this, but I just feel going into this year in this camp, it's not like you're saying, in the past, the necessity to find who steps up. That is going to happen in and of itself.
I mean, you have a lot of guys right here.
Who makes the catches? Who makes the plays in preseason? Who makes the catches in training camp? Who makes the plays in practice that get you to go, hey, that's somebody that we need to keep an eye on, you know, to do that. But I don't know. Like, I just, again, and I understand it wasn't against pads and it wasn't against an opponent. I never looked at any of those practices and went, oh, my goodness, the Saints aren't going to be able to throw the football. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird, though, right?
You look at the depth chart as of right now, there's still a good amount of wide receivers left to kind of fill the role of that position that you're looking for. So I think training camp this upcoming Friday, the start of it, I think that's going to be one of the main storylines from, you know, everyone's, because everyone kind of overreacts to, oh, we don't have a guy behind Michael Thomas or Jared Cook that's a true wide receiver. So I think one of these guys is going to come out and you'll see him in the regular season.
800-998-1003. Got another segment to take some phone calls or some tweets as well to touch on it here as well. What are some of the things that you're going to be keeping an eye on as camp begins in terms of you would like to know from either us or from anybody else that's covering the team? Hey, what about this guy? What about that position? Where is the order of importance, I guess, for you in terms of knowledge and information? Is slot receiver, is that number one? What would you say is the number one thing? Again, I'm not talking overall storyline. Overall storyline means health. I'm talking about individually, by the practices. What do you want us to focus on when we go to practice? When we pull out our notepads and practice start or the show starts, what do you want to know about on a day-to-day basis?
Latavius Murray.
You want to know about the running back positions?
I know Alvin Kamara. I know just Latavius Murray alone.
Okay, 800-998-1003. What do you want us to focus on when we start covering practice here on Friday? You're listening to your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Home A Tractor has the most popular John Deere package on sale. Get a 1025R tractor with 4FT, rotary cutter, box blade, and choppers for only $15,888 and as low as $199 a month. Plus, all compact tractors qualify for 0% interest. That's right, 0% interest, but not for long. Visit Home A Tractor today, next to the tunnel. Special programs all end July 30th, 2019. Financing is subject to credit approval with 20% down payment, including tax, 0% at 72 months. Fees may apply. See dealer for details.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Are you struggling with vision loss as you get older? Do you have a child who is blind or losing their vision? Are you a blind person wondering how you'll succeed in school, at work, or as a parent? We can help. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness doesn't have to keep you from living the life you want. We invite you to learn more about us and how we can help at nfb.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts when you purchase 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $24.99. Plus, get a $5 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after a mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Some job recruitment sites overload your inbox with resumes. Glassdoor knows not just any will do. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. In fact, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. And Glassdoor can help you find that perfect candidate in half the resumes. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You know, again, it's my number one overall theme when it comes to Saints Training Camp 2019. And again, it starts on Friday. It's health. It gets as healthy as you can to the start of the regular season. Falcons, as Brian O'Least, again, will help us cover the NFC South already. Says the Falcons are injured in injuries on their first day of training camp, which opened up today. Again, they'll be in the Hall of Fame game, so they opened up a little bit earlier. Jordan, Ian Rappaport, what is he reporting?
Falcons defensive linebacker Michael Bennett, who went down in practice today, suffered a broken ankle and is out indefinitely, sources say. First day of work and already a major injury.
Wow. And again, that's it's a player that's kind of key for them as they try to get back into the postseason. One of the other things that I thought that was of note to keep an eye on, again, that we said a little bit ago, Zion tabbing out of the FIBA practices. Again, it was an opportunity for him to compete for a spot, perhaps. And Anthony Davis and a couple of other players have said they're not competing and getting into it. You know, just throwing it out there. I mean, are you cool with it or are you not? Or you think you should focus on just the Pels? Brian says, hey, you know what? Who cares about the glorified AAU team that's going to go and play? I would have liked to have him get that experience. I think it would help. And I think it helped Anthony Davis when he was on the Olympic team to kind of get that opportunity to get the ins and outs from a bunch of other players that are at a high level as to what they do, take care of their bodies, practice, be in the same room with Greg Popovich and all that. I think it would have benefited. We had Dave Schultz on from ESPN 1420. He's like, you know what? I'm okay. Just kind of get into your own routine of being here, finding a place to live, going and work out, and doing those things. Again, me, I would have liked to seen him over there. I think you can gain more from that than, you know,
I think either way
sitting on a treadmill here or running up and down the court doing cardio.
I think either way he comes out just as fine as if he did go or if he didn't go.
Okay.
I see it as if he goes, then he's not around the facility and he's not around what he's going to be working out in and doing every single day. And if he's away, then he'll learn from the best coach to maybe ever coach a sport in Greg Popovich and learn from these superstar players that team up to go to the Olympics. So, I mean, either way, I find that it wouldn't have mattered either way.
Some Seahawks news as well for me in Rappaport. Defensive lineman Jaron Reed, 6-game suspension for him. So, again, that's a team that the Saints will be facing here to start the season. And Jaron Reed being suspended 6 games for violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy for an incident from early 2017. He was not charged or arrested, yet his appeal was denied Friday morning. Huge on-field impact. That's what Ian just tweeted. Remember, Saints play the Seahawks week 3 in Seattle. Another one of those instances that we talked about this all the time when that new CBA is coming. Look, you already had Demora Smith saying, hey, look, he's recommending players start saving up. He said save up a year's worth of salary, essentially, right? Because he's saying, you know, lockout.
It's coming.
I think the players are going to be looking for some guaranteed money. Again, my theory would be youth percentage and years of service. You know, however long you play, you get so much guaranteed in your contract. I also do think more and more, I think a point of contention is something like this. Again, I'm not even going into the Reed story as to whether or not it should or not. But if you were not charged and you're not arrested, then should the NFL have a right to sort of be judge, jury, executioner, and appeals court all at the same time on, I guess then it would be perception?
Yeah,
right?
Now the NFL's turning into the law.
Because you said Hill, you know, some audio came out and said, look, he wasn't charged, but the NFL's still looking into it. Right? For the Chiefs. Again, here's a player. .998-1003 is the number to call. Okay. Lee, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, guys. It was a gremlin just now on the line. up to a little mischief. Hey, Gus. I'm looking for a Friday.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. No, nobody's touching on it, but I'm looking to see who's going to be starting at nose tackle. Who's going to be in those ones when the D-line suits up, because I want to see what the D-line going to look like minus Sheldon Rankins for the first 8 games of the year, pretty much. I'm thinking 8 games, but it could be more. I mean, you know, there's really no good timetable on that Achilles, you know, because it just depends on the individual. But I wouldn't rush him back no sooner than 8 games. So I'm looking forward to see how we're going to look on that defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
I think the wide receiver position is going to shake out. It's going to shake itself out. And I think Cam Meredith will be ready because I did talk to him. I told you guys a while back. I think he will be ready for training camp. I mean, it's going to tell a tale Friday. We'll know. We'll know. If he's out there full go, we'll know, okay, he's ready. He's ready to compete. Mm-hmm. But I just think right now we're in good hands at that wide receiver position because I think Kirk Ward with a year under his belt and Traquan with a year under his belt, I think they're both going to really push each other, and I think both of them are going to really impress. So I'm optimistic, but I'm also looking at it from the standpoint they know the offense now. They've had a year with the team. They've had a year with Drew. Drew knows them. They know Drew. So based on those things, I'm expecting them to really, really put out a lot of production and help that whole offense go. Because with just too many weapons, you can't double team anybody. I'm stoked, man, because I'm just sitting here looking at it. And I'm like, Sean Payton right now is like a kid in the candy store with all the weapons he have on offense. And it's just like, okay, I would be losing sleep at night just dreaming of the ways, just smiling with that Grinch smile on his face, just thinking of ways he could just dissolve a defense. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what we do in practice. I know practice not indicating what we do in games, but I want to see some of the things that Sean Payton's going to come up with. You know he's got new plays in his arsenal. Every year he introduces something new. We have that base package that we run all the time, but he always sprinkles in some new little wrinkle. And I'm telling you, he's going to throw something in there. He's going to throw us a bone. If we go out, I'm going to go out there Friday, hopefully, and see a little bit of it. But he's going to throw us a bone, and we'll get to see some new wrinkles. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Lee. Thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. What are you fist pumping about before we get to our own?
The lists are back.
There it is, USA Today. USA Today.
I remember last year we were talking about USA Today,
they had
the Falcons.
They did.
Yeah.
They had. What do you got them?
So they had the Falcons in the NFC South at 11-5.
11-5, your NFC South champion Atlanta Falcons. You heard that, Brian?
And underneath,
champions.
Underneath that is your New Orleans Saints.
10-6.
They have the Chargers coming out with the best record in the NFL, along with the Minnesota Vikings at 12-4.
Wow. All right. Imagine that.
Wait.
What?
They have your Atlanta, your Kansas City Chiefs finishing off at 11-5.
Okay. That's what they have, right? That's what matters. Earl, we'll come to you right out of the break. 800-998-1003. We'll go to some more phone calls here as we wait. Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference, as we're live at Sun Belt Media Days here in the Superdome. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The new 2019 Dodge Charger has 45 years of muscle car heritage. From heart-pounding power to unexpected efficiency, it makes for one unforgettable ride. Don't miss out on your summer savings at the Summer Clearance Event going on at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. WAC excluded, TTNL, CCAP bonus, must finance with Chrysler Financial, non-prime, must have Beacon score of 620 or less, LD truck owner loyalty, must own an LD pickup.
Isn't it time to get your vehicle serviced, or maybe you need new tires? TJ Shell Station, doing business as Carroll Shell in the heart of Lockport, is the place to go. Carroll was in business for 26 years, and TJ Shell Station took over in 2014, which is 5 great years they've been in business so far. TJ Shell Station would like to thank their customers. So for fuel, tires, propane, alignments, brakes, oil changes, and more, it's TJ Shell Station in Lockport.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Here in South Louisiana, traditions matter.
Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Getting the big news for the Hawks. I mean, Atlanta. Michael Bennett broke an ankle. First day of Falcons training camp. And defensive lineman Jaron Reed suspended 6 games. For an incident in 2017, not charged or arrested. His appeal was denied Friday morning. And the incident in reference was in 2017 where an adult female claimed that Reed assaulted her in late April at around 3 a.m. back on April 27th of 2017. Again, it wasn't charged or arrested. So 2 years later, the NFL suspends him for 6 games. Coming off a pretty good year last year. As again, Rappaport says, it's a huge, huge impact as, yeah, 10.5 sacks, 50 tackles, and 16 regular season games here. Earl, go to your phone call since you held on, and then we will have the commissioner on here on ESPN New Orleans. How are you, Earl?
Good. How you been, buddy? Good to hear from you, man.
Good, man. How you doing, Earl?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. What's this Atlanta winning the South? I don't want to hear that from you, man. Gus, I wanted to get your take, man, just a missing piece of what you think for the Saints this year, just to get us over the top and to hopefully win it all this year. And I'm thinking Marcus Davenport, and I just want to get what you have thought about him lately, him and Marcus Williamson. I just want to know what your concerns are and what your positives are going into this year, Gus, and I'll hang up and listen. And I appreciate y'all guys. I love the show.
Sure, man. Thank you, Earl. Appreciate it. Quickly, it's simple. If Davenport can get you anything, it'd be nice, especially on that opposite end, to help out Cam Jordan. More importantly, you saw some moments and some flashes of what he can do. For Marcus Williams, I don't know if you want to call it a sophomore slump. Just kind of seemed like he was trying to do a little bit too much a lot of times, out of position. If he could play like he did his rookie season, it might provide something. I don't know if there's really missing pieces, and what I mean by that is just it's health and control what you can control. Finish games, play right, and I think the Saints have as good a roster as anybody, but you can say that about a lot of other teams. I get it. I understand it. We'll see where it goes, though, from here on out. Pleased to be joined now by Commissioner Keith Gill of the Sun Belt Conference as we are here at Sun Belt Media Days. Keith, how you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing great. Yeah, I really appreciate you having me, and so thanks for taking the time to visit.
Yeah, for sure, man. We've had several guests come on, whether it's voices of universities, coaches, players as well. Everyone seems to agree Media Days here in New Orleans. Of course, the offices are down the street here, right next door. But it's one of the Media Days across the country that gets spoken about a lot because I think this conference is up and rising.
Yeah. No, I think our coaches and our student-athletes are doing such a terrific job. You know, I've had a chance to visit 4 of our 12 schools. I got 8 more to go to, but one of the themes of that is they really are getting after it in football. They're doing great. They're invested in the coaches. They're invested in the students. They've got great facilities, and so it's been impressive to see.
You know, Keith, you just took over here, what, March?
May 1st.
May, okay, yeah. I knew it was in May.
Yeah.
It started with an M. Okay, it started with an M. So you're just kind of underway. What is sort of the vision that you sort of see going, or is it something that that you and Carl kind of talked about beforehand.
Yeah, you know, Carl's been great in the transition, so I certainly have gotten a lot of good insight from him, which has been helpful. I think we're just trying to kind of continue things moving forward. Like, at the end of the day, we want to have multiple teams preseason ranked and in the final rankings of the polls. So that's going to be really important. If we can do that and get those teams at the right level, then that will allow us to be the highest ranked group of five champion at some point and get to a New Year's Six Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that's what we really want to do. And then I think in postseason in basketball, we want to have multiple teams in postseason play.
You know, last year was the first year you had the conference title game. How do you think it went overall?
I thought it was great. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought App State did a great job in terms of taking some really tough weather, and their fans came out and really supported. And I think that it's a tough turnaround to try to start play a championship game when you don't know where you're going to play and you only got a week's notice. But I thought we were able to turn it around pretty well and get that done. And I think coming off of being on ESPN right after game day is always a great thing. So it's really nice being the game right at the game day leads into. And I think that really helped us too.
You know, we touched on and we started the show speaking about LSU's $28 million locker room renovations that everybody said they got their own little pods and apps. And look, different conferences are different places.
Right.
A lot of it because of TV money.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of having partnerships to be able to promote your programs in your schools, we see it from a media standpoint, but from your standpoint as a commissioner, how important is that to get that coverage out?
It's absolutely critical. I mean, one of the things that we really value is our relationship with ESPN. I mean, when you think about sports, particularly college football, there's no better media partner than ESPN. And so getting our word out for our fans, think things are more big time when they're on ESPN, mm-hmm. which I think certainly helps the credibility of our football program. And then all the PSAs that our schools get to kind of put into that coverage and those messages get out. It's really important. It's really valuable.
Speaking with Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, you mentioned the word credibility. Your football programs are kind of doing that on their own in terms of some of the big wins the last couple of years, whether it's Troy upsetting LSU a couple of years ago. You've seen what some of the teams did last year in App State and everything. And look, you look at the players that are coming out of it, and then you just have that winning percentage of all the conferences.
Yeah.
It's the Sun Belt that wins the most in bowl games when you get in there.
Yeah. Four years, we've got a 70% winning percentage, or just under 70%, which is, you know, beats number two, which is the Big 12 by over 10%. So we are winning games. This is a great conference. You know, we've got to do maybe a little better job of telling our story so that more people know it. I just think about last year. You know, I'm watching college football on the first weekend. Upset alert. It's App at Penn State. You know, they're about to win that game. I turn it over. I watch the last half. They didn't get it done. But, you know, that's what the Sun Belt is. You know, taking all comers at any time and giving them a great game and certainly winning our fair share.
I went to Southern Miss and graduated in 98. And I remember the Golden Eagles in that stretch. You had Adalius Thomas, Patrick Surtain and all that. Mm-hmm. And you get to a point where you become too dangerous
right.
to some teams to sort of play. You need that exposure in those games against some of the bigger schools, not only the paycheck, but also it's a great thing for the kids to go and play in that environment. Not everybody's going to get to play in 70, 100,000 fans
right.
and get that stage. What's that balance as a commissioner to try to get your teams to play
mm-hmm.
some of these bigger schools, get opportunities for perhaps possible upsets, but also knowing that some of those conferences are going to be like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. That Troy team, I don't know. We're going to go D2 here instead.
I know. It's hard. You know, at the end of the day, you know, when people want to play you, they want to beat you, you know. And so when you beat them, you know, that kind of messes up their plan a little bit. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we would love to get home and homes with some of these teams that and it just won't happen, you know. And part of it is because in some ways it's a backhanded compliment about how good we are. And so we wear that as a badge of pride. I mean, at the end of the day, you can only control what you control. And so we try to go out and beat every team that's on our schedule. And fortunate enough, we do that far more than most of our peers.
Speaking with Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt, and I think one of the things that's interesting as well, too, is we reference it a lot of times in the SEC arms race or
right.
some of the other Power Five, there's Group of Fives and stuff. When you look at the Sun Belt, how do you think is the model of what you want to build with your conference and the schools, all of them? And I mean, just even football, just overall, in terms of a healthy athletic and academic programs.
Yeah, you know, so I think it's great. I think we've got good balance in the Sun Belt in terms of academics versus athletics. I mean, our programs are getting out of after. They're really investing a lot into the facilities. We've got great coaches and great students, and I think that that's an important piece of it.
Right.
But we also are, you know, celebrating the academic success. We've got some really good schools doing some really special things. And then the health and safety piece of our students has been a really important kind of emphasis for us, trying to make sure that we're keeping themselves safe. So balance, I think, is important. Moderation is important. And trying to make sure that we're pretty good at everything is something that we're working on every day.
I started that to lead into this, you know, that balance of facilities and being able to do that. The more games you get out in those TV partnerships, get a little bit more money. Alumni kind of right. pay attention a little bit more when they get to see their schools out there and have some success to be able to do that. It's incredible the way we are right now, but today's day and age, you need facilities, you need exposure. Right. That leads to better recruiting. Uniforms are some all important. So it's sort of adapting. How do you see now taking over as commissioner, college athletics sort of changing the last several years? And where do you think is going to go and what you think is the most important thing to kind of focus on?
You know, I think revenues are important, really, on both sides. I mean, I think it gets more expensive to kind of play in the FBS sandbox, and so that piece is important. So as a commissioner, we've got to continue to find revenues for our schools so that they can keep competing at a high level. But I also think on that revenue piece, you also look at students. I mean, you hear much more of a voice from students talking about whether it's name, image, and likeness or mm-hmm. paying players and those kinds of things. And what does that look like? I don't know that that model looks like this 10 years from now. You know, it just seems like there's a lot of pressure for change. And at some point, you know, there probably is going to be some change. The NCAA has a group that's looking at that right now that will probably make some recommendations. And so it'll be interesting to see. But I do think it's a revenue piece and just a couple of different aspects of how that will change, I right. think will be critical to the model.
Carl, I'm glad you went there because tomorrow's show I'm kind of focused a little bit more, and I'm going to have some former football players and stuff. It's easy when you look at pictures on Twitter of the LSU locker room and people respond, see, they should get that money. I'm like, right. got it. They also get like $27, $32 million off of TV
right.
that they can just allocate to whoever they want. And you just mentioned that being able to find revenue. Not every school, not every conference can sort of do that.
Right.
And then you have Title IX, or then it's equal money. Then
right.
how much is it ever going to be? So to hear you say likeness, I'm hearing that a lot. We had Troy
right.
Dannon, the AD from Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's all on board on that. If that player sells a jersey, he gets a percentage
yeah.
or something like that. Because it comes from my investment of buying a jersey
right.
or I get you to do a commercial for Chick-fil-A or something of that nature. Because I just don't know how an institution or university can find that to make it equal and share and compete, because it's never going to be enough
yeah.
when it comes to money.
Yeah,
it's never
going to
be
that's
enough.
Right. The one thing that I think that is always lost in the debate, though, is I do think there's value in the degree that is getting missed. I think a lot of times when you hear people talk about this, it's student-athletes don't get anything, student-athletes don't get anything. I was a former football player. You know, I ended up with an education from Duke. You know, my student loans, or you know, I don't have any. And that has a lot of value. And so now if the question is, should there be more value or more money, I'm good to talk that through as long as we put a value on the degree and on that opportunity for an education. And I think that's what the debate misses a lot, is people don't talk about kind of all the benefits and things that they do get.
100%. I mean, look, whether it's chartered flights, food, lodging, all of those things, you get it that they don't, because as he mentioned, the cafeteria that he ate at LSU does not have, what was it, Langoustine lobster?
Yeah, a shrimp that looks like a lobster. That looks like a lobster.
That LSU football players had yesterday.
I
don't get that. So, but it is. There is value to it. And I understand it, because you can't get jobs because of certain rules that the NCAA has now. They can't
right.
go work at, you know, Best Buy or something during the summer and do that. And they should. And
right.
I get that from that aspect. So whether it's a stipend, likeness in imaging,
yeah.
I think that happens. But it's interesting to hear you say that other commissioners are talking about, we're going to have this discussion at some point in time.
Yeah, I think it's an important discussion to have, you know. I mean, you know, the model can't stay the same forever. You know, it was different in 1950 than it is now.
Right.
And, you know, and I think it will keep evolving, you know, in a way that's good. The important thing is it has to fit within the higher education mold, though. As I think about it, you know, higher education is important. There's some things in higher education that don't fit. So as long as it continues to fit in there, if there can be some creative things that we do with name, image, and likeness that help students, I think that that's a good thing.
Keith, before I let you go, speaking with Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt, what are some of the things you think that folks should know about the conference this year football-wise? I get a sense and feel that a lot of focus on the East.
Right.
Maybe some teams in the West might surprise some folks.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we'll get an early look at that when we see Lafayette, or we'll see Louisiana play Mississippi State. I think that's going to be an exciting game. That's going to be right here in the Superdome. So I really do think we're going to have two competitive divisions. And so I think the race in the West and the race in the East are going to be really competitive. Going to see a lot of great, exciting football, and I can't wait for it.
You mentioned a dome. We're here now. Obviously, you're right across the street. The offices-wise, the importance of having kickoff games and then coming up full circle and wrapping it up with the New Orleans Bowl.
Yeah, I just think that the Superdome is such an iconic building. You know, you think Super Bowls are here, Final Fours are here. You know, we play a bowl game here every year. We're kicking off the regular season of college football here with Louisiana versus Mississippi State. So to have our offices here, to be here for Media Day, I just feel like we're so lucky to be in such an iconic building and in our hometown. You know, what the Superdome means to New Orleans is immeasurable, and so we're so happy to be a part of that.
Sunbeltsports.org is the website to go check it out, and of course, as we mentioned, always fun to have you on. Let's have you on a little long.
Okay, I would love
more throughout the season.
Yeah,
check
no,
in, get down the street. You know, we're in Metairie, but same thing. let's do that.
Sounds good.
Pleasure
Thank
finally
you.
Meeting you, Keith.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much,
Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt. Quick break. We come back. Coach Napier somewhere around here. We'll try to get him on as well as again. Season will start here in the Superdome as the Cajuns taking on Mississippi State. Exactly right. It's a Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Upgrading your bathroom? The Home Depot can help you upgrade that upgrade at the Winter Kitchen and Bath event. Right now, add the finishing touch with an exclusive Kohler Katoon faucet for just $89. It's available in a stylish brushed nickel finish, and you'll only find it at the Home Depot, Kohler's number one retailer. So upgrade your bathroom and let the savings flow. The Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Daryl Morey, Rockets general manager, joining us this morning. And Daryl, there's an article out on ESPN.com. It alludes to some possible friction between James and Chris.
We have two high-level competitors, Chris and James. There's going to be times when they're focused on, you know, how do we get to that next level? And when we don't, there's going to be frustration. And I'm frustrated. I think it's good that there's tension. We all want to win.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Mississippi State getting the season kickoff with UL here. As Coach Napier's making his way. Uptown Ruler, you got literally about 30 seconds before Coach Napier sits down with us. What you got, man?
Hey, man, if I was Michael Thomas, this is what I would say.
Okay.
I want my money, every dime, every penny, every second for everything I did on the field, everything I did off the field, everything I'm going to do on the field, and everything I was going to do off the field. I want my money.
Okay, there he is. Uptown Ruler wants his money. Coach Napier, there it is. So that debate's always going to be nice and strong. Paying college players, what should they get here and here? That's not going to be solved in the next few minutes here. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How about you guys?
Doing fantastic. Look, picked to win the West, face App State again, sort of a rematch of last year. How would you say your first season went? Not too bad getting in the championship game.
Well, I think we made a lot of progress. You know, I think we played better football in the second half of the season. I think we're still very much a work in progress. I think, But we've continued to improve. I think we've worked really, really hard in the off-season program to kind of correct maybe some of those deficiencies that we had. Offense, defense, special teams, it's about working together in all three phases to try to go win each and every week as we face these different matchups. But we're getting better. You know, I think you're going to see a little bit better football team. Certainly the schedule is very challenging this year compared maybe to last year. So, you know, football's here, man. And I'm excited. You know, we got a good core group of players coming back. You know, we report August 1st. Awesome opportunity to start the season right here at Mercedes Superdome. So, you know, I think it's going to be one heck of a year, man. I'm excited to get back around the players and get back to football.
At Raging Cajuns FB is the way to follow them over on Twitter. Speaking with Louisiana head coach Billy Napier. You know, it's nuts. You mentioned starting off against Mississippi State here in the Dome. For a while, the New Orleans Bowl was the home of the Cajuns. I mean, this town was painted red that one weekend in December. No doubt. Look, you got that sense and feel a year now in Lafayette with that fan base. So it is. They want to take that next step, don't they?
No question. You know, I think it's a unique culture. It's these people have tremendous pride, you know, and we've got our own little entity, you know. It's its own little special culture there.
You're staying away from the Cracklins because I love the Cracklins.
I mean, why not, right? Yeah. While in Rome, do as the Romans do, right?
Exactly.
So, no, I think it's you know, I've gained a great appreciation in a year and a half or so for the people. You know, I think that's what really makes the place unique. Just genuine, sincere, kind of give you the shirt off their back approach. Certainly our transition as a family, the staff's transition, everybody's been incredible. So we're excited about representing University of Louisiana, certainly the culture there in Acadiana. And in Lafayette, and you know, this is a group of people that are competitive. They're blue collar. They're tough. They work, and it's a privilege to represent them. And I hope that we'll continue to play better football in the future.
Coach, when you look at the West, look, a lot of people around here today have said, "Look, the East is sort of top heavy." And then I talked to the teams, Kirk Merritt, Arkansas State receivers, like, "Look out for the Red Wolves in the West." How would you look at your division?
No, I think it's very competitive. You know, last year it came down to the wire. Kind of a three-way tie. We were in position to win the tiebreaker. So, you know, Arkansas State, ULM, South Alabama, Texas State. I mean, something about this league I think is unique is you can get beat every week and you could win every week. You know, I mean, there's a lot of parity. Certainly each team maybe has its deficiencies or problems. It's about managing those, coming up with the best solutions and playing to your strengths. We were able to do that in the second half of the year, and you know, I think it's important that we learn from those experiences, not only the positives but the negatives, and get in position to play better football this year and adjust and adapt and evolve as we go.
All right, so you said you start August 1st, August 31st. It's right here in the Dome. Y'all in the Bulldogs, the cowbells. So y'all going to have cowbells? No, I'm kidding. In all seriousness, though, in that 29-30-day period, what does your team need to do, do you think, to be ready for a game like that?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's an unbelievable opportunity, and it's going to create intensity and urgency within our training camp, knowing that that's around the corner. Something that's maybe getting overlooked here is a lot of these kids that are from Louisiana,
right,
they grew up dreaming of making it to the state championship game and playing in this venue. So I think our players are – this is going to be a dream come true for a lot of them, and certainly – a lot of our veteran players played here in the New Orleans Bowl. So tremendous opportunity for our fans, for our alumni in the area, for all Cajuns to get together and have one heck of a weekend.
All right. At Raging Cajuns, FB is the way to follow over on Twitter. Coach, thanks for stopping by and giving us a little bit of your time today.
Thank you guys, man.
I hear you, Joey's wife, by the way, Raging Cajun, listening. So she's all pumped up, ready to go.
That. Let's do it.
Thank you, Coach. Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns. Again, at Raging Cajun FB over on Twitter is the way to follow. Thanks to everybody that stopped in today. We'll have all those shows up here, all those interviews in here in a little bit as we focus a ton on the Sun Belt. Tomorrow we'll focus, as we mentioned, on the upcoming schedules and games and storylines coming up with Saints training camp starting on Friday. Coming up next, Matt Moscona. And after further review, you've been listening to the Sports Hangover, your home for Pelicans basketball. ESPN New Orleans.